Amen. As I was sharing, while everyone's getting on the line, I've just been going over Apostles' notes from Passover, and I just now finished this morning, and I've been getting so many fragments from Passover. It's just amazing. Fragments truly and honestly turn into meals, and that's without any exaggeration. They truly do turn into meals. But I
That's
just
good.
share this was actually it's kind of a continuation of Passover, but also I started first getting, well, my first fragment, I should say, sorry, is one I got from Sunday, and then it came all the way over into today. So I'm just kind of going to take you into a journey of my fragment gathering, and we'll begin here. This was actually a note from Apostles' Notes that you see on the screen here. It says, Jesus is our Passover. From the blood on the door, which exempts us from death, to the Red Sea, which swallows all of our enemies, all the way to the promised land that flows with milk and honey. And when I read this, I could see the relief and aid that we've learned about in the exemption from death, in the swallowing up of our enemies, in the Red Sea, I could see the bringing forth of the headstone that was prophesied to Zerubbabel. In the promised land that was milk and honey, I could see the festival. And so I saw just in this statement the fullness of Passover. After this, I just continued reading the end of Exodus 12, which is where we were for Passover. And also I went into chapter 13. And I noticed it mentioned that they were not to eat any unleavened bread for 7 days. It said from the 14th to the 21st. And also they were not to work, save the work that was required to eat, meaning that they could work just to, to feed themselves. And it just so happened that the morning of this Rhema, I had checked the forecast for the week for work. And I noticed that for the next 7 days, that there was going to be rain. So I'm like, Lord, you got jokes. Like, we were just in Passover, and it just so happens the next 7 days we have rain. But in all sincerity, I was like, so be it. If there's rain all this week, I'll keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I'm
Amen.
like it's all good. And I'm like, even though, our unleavened bread isn't consistent of the 7 days, I know this, but it was just a funny coincidence. So the Lord had me laughing there.
How does the rain affect you, Elder Allison? I don't think they understand. Why does it affect you, and why would you laugh at that?
Oh,
Amen.
because I'm a spaz at work. My mindset to me in my, carnal mentality is if I'm not working, I'm not making money.
Not everybody knows what you do.
I have a business of window cleaning and pressure cleaning, so when there's rain, there's no work. There's
Amen.
absolutely no work. So in my carnal thinking, that's my means of making money. But that's my carnal thinking. So just to give you,
So he has you keeping the feast.
yes, keeping the feast all this week, and it's all good.
And keeping the feast is no work. There's nothing but being before the Lord, really.
Yes, sir.
So you've been keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Yes.
Amen. Now go ahead. Go ahead. I'll leave you
No,
alone from there.
you're good. Good. Yeah, not everybody knows me. You're right. So I continued on into after I finished chapter 12, I went into chapter 13, and I also noticed another instruction that was given to the Israelites in their departure from Egypt. And they were to sanctify unto him all the firstborn. Now remember during the Passover that God slew all the firstborn of the Egyptians, both men and beasts. They were all slain. And here's the instructions that was given. It's Exodus 13 and 2. He said, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine." He then gives them instruction to give to their son. So all the keeping of the unleavened bread, all the sanctifying of the firstborn, he instructs, you know, the elder man to instruct, you know, their children so that they can keep it year after year. So, and that's in verse 8. And he says, "Thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt." We're going to skip over to verse 15 and 16. "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt."
Hallelujah.
The instruction was, "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn." And we see the response. He says, "Therefore I sacrifice." This shows there's an acknowledgement. There's a recognition of being brought out of Egypt. Mm. "Therefore I sacrifice." Now we have learned, when we are propitiated, it's at this moment we are seeing our exodus. We are seeing that we are brought out. In this seeing, we are acknowledging. And in this acknowledging, we then step into, "Therefore I sacrifice my first unto the Lord."
Oh my God.
Let's take it one step further. Verse 12 shows us what our first fruit sacrifice is unto him. When it's given in the place of propitiation. I'm going to say that one more time. Verse 12 is going to show us what our first fruit sacrifice is unto him when it's given in the place of propitiation. Verse 12. "That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast, which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's."
Jesus.
The word "set apart" here, it says that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord. Set apart means to pass over. Our first fruit is our Passover sacrifice unto the Lord.
My God.
Wow, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Every time we are propitiated in Rhema. Now see this, everyone. Even right now.
Oh my God.
Every time we are propitiated in Rhema.
Jesus.
We were just brought out of some type of leaven. When we see and when we recognize, it's here we release. We pass over unto the Lord our first. And we are recognizing the strength of his hand.
Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
There's a little bit more about the strength of hand. And we also were in this verse on Passover. Psalms chapter 105, verse 36. Says, "He smote all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength." I had to read this a couple times. And I'm like, there's something here. It says he smote all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. And I looked up the word chief, and it means first fruit.
Oh my gosh.
So this states that the Egyptian firstborn is the first fruits of all their strength. Well, let's see what that means. This strength means, again, says he smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. See what that strength. They thought all their firstborn was this. Was their effort, their ability, their success.
That's so good.
Their wealth.
Jesus.
Their goods, their power, and their might. So to the Egyptians, their firstborn was all their strength. Those firstborn to them, it was all their success. It was all their wealth.
Yeah, they're good. All their
power.
Wow.
It was all their might.
Wow, Lord Jesus.
This strength would now become their own effort and their own ability. And I wondered, were the Egyptian firstborn slain just to show the Israelites that their strength cannot be their own? You see, there's a type of strength that we find in our own efforts.
My God.
There's a type of strength that we find in our abilities. There's a strength that we find in our own success, our own wealth, what we think we possess in goods. There's also a strength that we find when we are in control and in our own power. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and after instructed, sanctify unto me your
My God.
Pass over unto me all your effort, all your ability, all your might, your success, your wealth, your goods, your power. Pass over unto me. When we come into a place of propitiation and rhema, we are brought out of Egypt. It's in this moment we recognize our Passover. And we set apart unto our God and say, therefore, I sacrifice unto thee my first.
My effort, my ability.
I pass over unto you because you are my strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pass over unto our God because he is our strength. Hallelujah.
My goodness.
Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on now.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my God. My God. My God.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All this time, what I'm seeing right here, this is so powerful. All this time, we've been offering unto the Lord our first fruit.
Yeah.
This has been directly connected to passing over.
Oh my goodness.
And when we offer our first fruit to God, we're saying we give our effort, our ability, our success. When the Lord came and smote all that were first in the land of Egypt, he said he took away their strength.
Yep. Exactly. Yep.
He said, I took away your effort, your ability, your success. Yes. I see this plain as day. I see it. Because in the firstborn, especially dealing with the males, back then, the entire success, wealth, and goods were found in the firstborn. When God smote the firstborn of Egypt, he told them, Elder Allison, what word did it mean that it meant the firstborn or the first that he took away?
The first that he took away?
Chief.
Yeah, what,
chief.
The chief. Thank you. Thank chief. You, Evangelist. Thank you. Out of Psalms 105. Can you put Psalms 105 back up on there? We got a few minutes here.
Yes.
We got 20 minutes. We're going to talk about this. He smote also the firstborn in their land and the chief. The word chief meant what?
First fruit.
First fruit.
So he smote the first fruit of all that they had, and it took away their strength.
Yeah.
So what God did in Egypt, Elder Allison, this is off the wall. This is unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
What he did was smite the firstborn, mm-hmm. and the chief, which meant the firstborn was the chief, which meant the first fruit of all their strength.
Yeah.
Then when they got out, after chapter 12, they exit chapter 13, he commands that they should bring the first of whatever opens the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, verse 2.
So after the Exodus, God commands Israel to worship him with the first fruit of whatever opens the matrix. Now God is saying, I'm taking away their strength.
Sorry.
I'm taking away their ability for wealth. I'm taking away their ability to basically their lineage. He said, but I will establish yours when you come and give unto me the first that opens the matrix.
Okay.
Yo, this is madness. This is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So basically our giving is totally associated with moving in Passover.
Yes, amazing.
Because we're proving and giving our first fruits that we're not, that our money is not our strength, is not our wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And what God took away from them was their strength, their wealth, basically their ability to continue in their path of success through their lineage. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
This is, man, Elder, you done smoked this here. You done smoked that. Now it says in verse 16, and it shall be for a token upon thine hand and for for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of the hand, the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. I didn't even see that there when you read it. So by the strength he brought us out, is the strength we now show and give.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He used the same word.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when we give our first fruit, we're tapping into his strength, disconnecting ourselves from the strength that Egypt felt, because I know how Pharaoh felt when the Pharaoh's son died. I know how he felt. All of Egypt is now out of here, because that was where Egypt's hope was for the future.
That's right.
Man, this is serious stuff, man. Elder Allison, you've been smoking some deep, deep hashish here. Girl, you must have been mixing in your brownies and everything else. I don't know what you're doing, but you've been, man, wow. You got high on this one here. That is some amazing stuff. And listen, in my thinking, as I'm thinking here, the hour of this, is way before God begins to establish law and covenant. This is way before it. And I understand that it is way before the Lord begins to establish the law through Moses getting the Ten Commandments and writing the law and doing all this, that the Lord, upon Exodus, he took away their strength and then reestablishes strength in Israel by Israel sowing the first right after he brings them into their Exodus. This is good stuff, Alice, Allison. I mean, it's really good.
Amen.
Allie, awesome. This is Allie, this is really, really good.
Yes, it
go
is.
Go ahead, Elder Donna. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying it is. It's awesome. Truly, truly awesome. I mean, I could see where their strength was taken, where their strength was just pulled, just totally taken away from them. And that was one of the things, their total abilities. Any abilities they had were taken.
Because it was all designed because they were so into the custom of things that it would be in the firstborn that the lineage or the family name would continue. The cry in Egypt, and this is deep, the cry that the Lord prophesied in Egypt wasn't necessarily just associated with the death of the firstborn, but the cry came because it was the death of their lineage.
Yeah. Yes.
They knew what that meant.
Yes.
Boy, oh boy.
It goes back to the first, when I first began teaching just this evening, and you asked me, what does that mean? If I'm taking off, not taking off by purpose, but taking off work because of the whole entire work of rain, I can't work. It's taking away, you know, my mindset where I'm no longer in my effort, in my ability, I'm no longer relying on my success, what I can do by my hands.
Amen.
But I know that every time I'm eating of the unleavened bread this week, every time my mind is propitiated, I can honor unto the Lord my God, my first fruit in my tithe, and I'm connected in now in his effort, in his ability, in his success, in his wealth. Even this day, I put, just to give an example, when I first got the revelation on the Passover, that I pass over unto the Lord, I was like, I wish I had a first fruit and tithe to give you right now. And I had posted some stuff on OfferUp, and some lady messaged me. It was a $5 item. So I met the lady at Publix and she's like, I know it's $5, but I want to give you $7. First of all, why do you want to give me extra on it? But I wanted to give God a first fruit and I wanted to give God a tithe, and he provided me the opportunity. I got $7 and I gave my first fruit and I gave my tithe.
Bless God.
My tithe was 70 cents.
Hallelujah.
And my first fruit, the first fruit is something, whatever he tells you to give above your tithe. And he told me $1.40. So I gave my first fruit of $1.40 and I gave my tithe of 70 cents, but I was so elated because I had to honor him on what I just heard. I could pass over unto him because I recognized the place of propitiation he just brought me in and hearing.
That's powerful, man. Think about it. Think about what happens to us spiritually.
Yeah.
When we're coming into Passover, we realize that hearing our now rhema will bring us into a place of Passover. Think about what happens. When I get into the rhema, I lose all my strength. Mm-hmm. I lose my effort. I lose my abilities. When my mind becomes propitiated, all of my ability, all of my effort, all of my success, my goods, my power, my might, everything dissipates. It disappears. It leaves me.
Step into his.
Now I'm transitioned into the strength of the Lord. Now he says unto the children of Israel, after this, you give unto me everything that opens up in the matrix. And as it be for your sons, sanctify them unto me. Give them, after he just smote all of their strength, he tells them, give me your strength.
Yeah.
And when we're propitiated, there's an exchange of strength. Because how I thought I would get over, how I thought I would do it, is no longer the angle that I'm looking at. My strength is exasperated. And now I'm tapped into his. And he's revealing that right after Exodus, I commanded that the first be given unto me. Yes. I exchanged strength for strength. I don't ever want you guys, this is what I hear the Lord say. I don't ever want you caught up in what you think your legacy is going to really be. I am your legacy. I am your future.
Hallelujah.
I am your future.
Hallelujah.
So he's saying, I don't ever want to have to come back and do what I did to Egypt. So in Christ, none of this will take place.
Hallelujah.
As long as he becomes your effort, ability, success, wealth, your goods, power, and might, let him become.
Amen.
And then I love the disconnect. Oh, man, honor me.
Yes.
Honor me. I'm not this guy out here on the front road here trying to build the coffers of the ministry, trying to get money in our car. No, that's not me. I want people to experience how to prosper,
yes,
succeed, and grow in the kingdom of God. And this, what Elder Allison shared tonight, giving our first unto him, goes with our Exodus.
Hallelujah.
Don't amen the Exodus pathway that we heard and not amen our call to worship in it. Because this here to me is a call to worship.
Yes, it is.
Extremely powerful, Elder Allison. I don't have words to really describe how powerful that was. And I'm so glad you're recording. But this was something else here.
Wow.
Anybody else want to say anything? I'm gonna try to dial down here. But anyone else want to say anything? You're more than welcome to give your comments about what you heard tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was something else.
Mm-hmm.
Bless you, Jesus.
I never saw that. I taught it from so many angles, and I've never seen this here. I've never seen it from here. I've taught it from all that opens the matrix. I've seen it from there, but I never knew that what it meant the Lord did in taking the firstborn. I never knew he took their first fruit and took their strength. The first fruit carries their strength. I never knew. And then he replenished Israel by giving them the opportunity to worship him with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I see it. And let me just testify in this as a man that's been giving first fruits for well over 20 years. I can honestly say, when you honor God and you worship God with your first fruit, you're giving him your strength. You're giving him what you felt would be a part of your wealth, your effort. You're giving him a part of what you feel would be your success. And just in a natural means, you can feel that taking place.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you say to yourself, if I give this, how will I do this? But then you honor God with it. And then all of a sudden he starts to flip the script on where things are flowing from and things of that nature. But you can't do it in a ritualistic manner. You have to do it always from a covenant of Passover.
Yes.
from a covenant of being in the Word. Under.
Yeah, it's right there. It's right there. Remember.
Mm-hmm. Apostle.
Yes, Elder.
I just saw something. It's been how many years since we've been in first fruit, giving first fruits, that you have expressed how the Lord bankrupt heaven by giving his son.
Yeah. It's been well over 20 years we've been talking about.
And this is what we're seeing tonight. This is what we're seeing that he did as mm-hmm. well. We're really seeing that's what he did. It's mm-hmm. proof of what he did. He did it first.
Yeah, he did.
Absolutely.
He did it first. And now he's showing us that that's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
But it's given us the understanding, I should say, of what it is that we have been doing. If we have been giving it the way he has been teaching us to give it, this is what. And now, I mean, this just puts it on a whole nother level to me.
Yeah.
A whole nother level. A whole, whole, totally different level to me.
Too, Elder.
It's so true. It's so true. There's a show I watch on Netflix that I was watching. I think I pretty much finished it. I believe it's called Ugly Beautiful. And it's a cooking show because I love to cook, and they show the beautiful foods, but the ugly things it went through as a culture to come up. It shows the ugly, the racism behind people not wanting to buy because it might have been an Iraqi dish or it might have been a Haitian dish. And it's called Ugly Beautiful. Hmm. And in giving first fruits, there's a very ugly side that comes to it. You struggle. You things happen. You're not automatically in bliss. It doesn't happen that way. And if anybody preaches that it would, they'd be lying. But it becomes so beautiful because of the relationship and the way the Lord challenges and to look at your trust, to look at your belief, to look at your worship. It becomes beautiful because at the end of it all, God begins to make ways out of no ways. Water comes out of rocks. Things start to happen. And that which was ugly at the first because it was a struggle becomes beautiful because in every circumstance, no matter how bad it might look, God is going to show up for you. And God will make it look ugly until it becomes beautiful. Because what he's trying to do is exasperate your effort, your ability, your way of success, your wealth, your goods, your power, and your might. And he wants it gone. And while you're still holding on to it, it's ugly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But by the time he proves himself, it becomes beautiful. And Prophetess taught a message years ago. We will know the wealth and riches of God and increase of God, not day by day, but year by year, you will understand it better. Mm-hmm. The Bible says you'll see it year by year. So if you're not willing to go through the ugly, you might not ever see the beautiful. But he has to get rid of your effort. He smote the firstborn of Egypt because the firstborn, the lineage, Pharaoh after Pharaoh, they built something that they had a monopoly on the world. And God said, no, this got to go. And I'm going to do it by taking their next generation.
Jesus.
Well, your first fruit tries, the money you hold in your wallet tries to hold up like it's the next generation of wealth. And God says, no, I don't want the next generation. I'm the next generation. I'm the next generation.
Thank you, God.
It's my effort, my ability, my success. I want you to live by that.
Yes, it is.
So if you're going to pass over, the firstborn got to go. And I see that plain as day, truly powerful. Elder Allison, that's revolutionary there. That's revolutionary. That is something, whoa, serious. And I totally say amen to it.
Amen.
I'm blessed by it. We got one more minute, but that was off the chain. I'm sorry, Elder, but you are on a 3-day revival. You're going to do this again tomorrow night, and you're going to close out Sunday morning with an excerpt because it's necessary. Let him that hath ears, let him hear. Amen. And so I'm putting you on a 3-day. I'll cover you in prayer so nothing disturbs you or distracts you. I'll keep you covered, but really, I want the benefit. I could care less about the money. I want the benefit coming and flowing to God's people because of it. I want the disconnect.
Yes, God.
From Mystery Babylon the Great, I want the full disconnect. I want it disconnected because trust you me, ain't nobody given to unto the Lord in circumstances like I have. I don't know. I've never met anybody that has given first fruit and tithes unto God in circumstances like I just will not stop. Because I really believe the ugly is going to be beautiful, and it has become beautiful.
Amen.
I've seen the hand of God in so many ways. So, Elder, sorry about this, but you got to sanctify. You got to sanctify for the rest of the week, and you got to bring this again Thursday in our Sunday morning Ramus service again.
Amen.
You okay with that?
Yes, sir.
And the Lord will bless you for it.
Bless God.
Amen. That covers our more group for Wednesday night, everybody. For everybody that's joined.
Jesus.
If you didn't hear the beginning, you need the beginning of this tonight. So get into the beginning of what was said, and it will bless you. And to him that hath shall more be given.
Don't forget, sir.
Gather the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost.
Amen.
And feast again tomorrow. Amen. I love you guys, and I'll hear from you on tomorrow night and our Thursday.